Welcome to the J Train Podcast. Today we do a mailbag question about a guy being friends with his ex. We also do an Am I Crazy Dog, and we talk about a boyfriend with some secret sex toys. Enjoy, share, comment, let us know you enjoyed the show.
Welcome to the new J Train Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. It's J Train Jared Free coming to you live from Midtown West, we'll call it, Feather Nation Studios. We're here every Monday with your emails, your stories, your questions. This is the safe space for any question you have, any complaint you want to air. This is where you do it. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Send them in. Complaints, questions. Am I crazy? Ask myself and my guests. Today, I have two amazing co-hosts. Hilarious comic, Maddie Wiener, thank you for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
And hilarious comic, Liz Mealy, thank you for coming back.
Yeah.
You're here new to the studio.
Yeah, I love it. It's so big.
It's big. it's fancy. It's Feather Nation Studios. We put no... No dollar was wasted in this,
I didn't feel it at all.
You have a YouTube special.
I do.
What is it called?
It's called Murder Sheets.
Murder Sheets. And Liz is on the road performing Murder Sheets. It's on YouTube?
Yeah, it's going to be out on YouTube April 2nd, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
When's this come out?
Great question.
This is April 1st, so it'll be out tomorrow.
Tomorrow, guys.
So we want everyone to go to Liz Mealy's YouTube channel, youtube.com/LizMealy.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Liz's YouTube channel. Go subscribe so that you'll wake up to Murder Sheets.
Yeah.
Why is it called Murder Sheets?
I have a bit. It's kind of a story, but I was online dating, and it's about like that kind of boring where like I just ask you how you're doing every day, and like it's like weird. You don't know them, but they're asking about your day. And so I was talking to this guy, and I had just moved into my new apartment. And I was putting my bed together, and I had a lamp, and I knocked it over, and this light bulb shattered, and literally there was tiny bits of glass everywhere, on my bed, on the floor, whatever. Mm. And so, of course, I'm lazy. I'm super tired. I've moved all day, and I just try picking it up. I cut myself, and I'm like, this is dumb. So I was like, you know, I'll wash the sheets. Like, I'll shake it out, and then I'll wash the sheets. I'm a genius. And I go to wash the sheets, and when I pull it out, I cut myself again. And I was like, cool, I invented murder sheets.
Right.
And it's this long ass story about this like debacle. And I think it's funny. I write this long ass thing to this guy and he writes back like, oh, it sucks. Like I gave him like an interesting, I want to be like, I get paid to tell stories.
Right.
So I almost give him what is eventually like the first iteration of this joke. And he just, and I stopped talking to him. I was just so mad.
That's the thing about online dating is like you have an idea of who you're dealing with on the other side. And I've said this a bunch. It's like, you actually did the best thing you could do is you judge the response, not that there was a response at all.
Oh, God.
You know, yeah. Because when you give people, you have to give people things to grab onto that they might grab onto the wrong thing. I think about this all the time because I
test them. Test them like testing. A sick little game.
That's right. Your own little squid game. Like you, but it can be, listen, when someone passes the test, if you're going to test someone on a dating app, you have to be a benevolent dictator. You have to be equally as like loving to the person who passes it as you would be beheading of the person who doesn't.
Mm.
Because if you put in your profile, like, and this is like, listen, I believe this. As the guy on the other side who would write, how was your weekend? I don't think there's any problem with how was your weekend. I think the problem is when you say, pretty good, how was yours?
Yes.
Okay, now you've really just hit the tennis ball back.
No,
and
hit it back. You almost kicked it on the floor and it just kind of went on your other side. Like I was giving him something to grab onto and he literally was like, oh, no, thank you. And you're like, what are we doing?
Well, then it's not even worth getting mad at that person because you wrote back, I just made murder sheets. I got these sheets that are going to kill a human being and you're being... yourself, you're being a little, you know, a little quirky, you're being your own personality, you're writing out this like fun little tale, and they got back, oh, cool, and you're like, okay, you weren't looking, this is actually a great way to know, this guy wasn't really energized. If he's not energized enough to grab onto the creative thing you wrote, and I don't think you should be mad that you wrote the creative thing. Be happy you wrote it.
Sure.
So that you got rid of the person that would have been the bad date.
You find out they can't hang.
Can't hang.
Can't hang.
Can't riff with you.
The whole thing's a hang.
Yeah. So it's like when you're making your profile, if it's like, okay, two, you know, I don't like two truths and a lie, but like when you write something in your profile, like, what do you like? What do you like to do? And if you write, you know, I like to break a bunch of glass and put it on my sheets and hopefully
now I
feel
sound like
love
a psychopath.
Again. I don't think you do. I think that to me, you're going to find your psychopath. Like,
sure. And I feel very fortunate because I met my boyfriend on Hinge and like I didn't know how to fill out Hinge. Mm. So like I swear to God, almost all my pictures, I'm wearing a winter coat. Like you cannot see what I look like. And almost, I just, because I'm a sugar addict. I like sugar. And everything was just like, you know, what's your favorite thing? And I was just like, I love a donut. I'd kill a man for a donut. And it's like, what fixes a day? And I was like, a sugary beverage, any kind of beverage. I like bubble tea. Like, so he's a sugar addict. That makes sense that he like came back and he started talking about cookies with me. And I was like, I will have sex with this man.
But he grabbed onto it.
But he asked, he literally was like, this is my favorite macaroon place. I'm not even one of those macaroon people, but you need to know about this. And like, and it became this back and forth to the point where like, I knew I was probably saying too much and he still like globbed on. But it's even sometimes just a question. If that guy came back and was just like, why didn't you hire movers? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, even if it was like, he didn't go,
he didn't listen to this, he didn't engage. You have to engage with the material.
But that's the thing is he was this guy that I wrote the joke about was like an art teacher. And in my mind, I was like, you're, you know, artsy. I'm artsy. I'm sure we can have a combo. But then you start to realize like, I mean, I'm sure we're like messed up because of comedy where I'm like, truly, like, you, not only do you hit the ball back, but you better hit me in the fucking face with it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I want it to be, like, and I know that's too much. And I know we are kind of desensitized to what real conversation is. But I meet strangers all the time that aren't comics that at least ask interesting follow-up questions.
Listen, I disagree with you because I think what your boyfriend did, your now boyfriend, I see your sugar and I raise you macaroon.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that person that, you know, you saying, like, I think it's so interesting that you're like, they're an art teacher. They should write back to my murder sheets thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, they don't, they're an art teacher who wants, who's a lazy dude who just wants to fuck. He's not even looking to message with someone on that level.
Sure. And as a woman on these apps, I assume that. And all I'm trying to do is find the ones that actually want to get to know me as a person and treat me like a person. We will fuck if you treat me like a person.
Just give me humanity.
Some kind of humanity. But I think what bothered, I was pretty new to online dating because I one, unfortunately dated comics, but B, would go years in between dating. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't do the apps until about a year and a half ago. And I went on them super naive. So I'm almost 40 and almost, and like truly like somebody that went, that got divorced and was like, what is that? He seems like a nice fella. I'm going to give him my social security number. Like just shy of that. And I just felt like I'm interesting. I know I can be interesting pretty quickly. Why wouldn't someone want to, like, and I don't tell people I'm a comic. I kind of keep it under wraps. There's people that have recognized me, but I was a little naive where I'm just like, it is an honor to talk to me.
I know.
I got to take comedy out of my Hinge profile though. I had one picture of me doing stand up because part of me was like, some guys are weird about this.
Yeah.
And if you're weird about this, I can't date you. So like maybe, but then I got guys messaging me, hey, do you listen to Cumtown? And I was like, we got to take it out. I work in sales. I work in marketing.
Well,
I do anything else.
It's an earned, like knowing what I do is become like an earned privilege.
Well, it's like meeting your child a little bit, especially for comedy. You're tending to this thing. You care about it. You're trying to like grow it, you know? So
I also don't want it to start as a podcast because that's the other thing. If they know you do comedy, immediately it's like, what got you into it? What's your favorite comics? Mm. And you're like, I am so dry right now.
That's the pleasure of meeting. Yes. You've taken me to the Sahara Desert. It's the pleasure of being a man is that like, generally men want to be the arbiter of funny.
Women are like, wow.
Right. And they want to, like, men bring their girlfriends to shows to show them the funny guy that they know, you know, and I, you know, I'm lucky in the sense that like a lot of, you know, people that follow me are women. And I end up getting these fun girl groups that come and I'm like, great. I don't have to deal with that. But every now and again, I get a boyfriend that's like, well, if I don't know him, fuck him.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, you're kind of like hitting at his ego. I do think what you're saying, though, is like, I think being on the apps, like the two mistakes people new to the apps make, and I get this message all the time where it's like, they're like, you're taking someone to be more than they are, you know, like art teachers. We are a fit. They like for art. Sure. And you're taking it personally when it's like nothing is personal if it's on the app.
And it's so funny to be in comedy as long as we have, and we get rejected constantly in person, right, online, from bookers. It's like the meanest stuff that has ever been said to me, and I'm just like, okay. But dating and being on the apps, I'm like, this is gonna sound so crazy. So one of my questions on Hinge was like, you know, how do you fix a bad day? And I was like, sugary beverage, or I think I said like a fancy beverage. I think that's what I said. And this guy was like, oh, what's your fancy beverage? He was like a scientist. I'm sure this guy is like a big deal in science. That's how you know.
Or he just wrote he's a scientist.
Yeah, some guy that lied about science. Regardless.
He's a bartender.
He looked like a professional. I like
science. He said he was a firefighter and an astronaut.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to space. So anyway, I think he was talking about alcohol, which I don't drink. And it's been almost 10 years since I drank. And I wrote back, I was like, oh, if I'm... Either I did something I was supposed to do and I'm proud of myself, or I'm sad. It's bubble tea. I love bubble tea. And I wrote maybe like a little two sentence paragraph about bubble tea and my love for bubble tea. And he unmatched me immediately.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God, am I a loser? I love bubble tea. Like, it took me a second to be like, why would I want to be? And my boyfriend now loves bubble tea because he's a sugar addict. And I appreciate that. But it's like you forget that, like, who cares that this guy wanted me to say, like, martini or something.
Right.
Like, I don't care that I'm a child. I don't care that bubble tea fixes a bad day for me.
We need more language. We need more words for dating app talk. Like, to call that a rejection is so harsh.
And it's not.
It's not a rejection.
Because there's going to be, if we've exchanged phone numbers and they stop talking, then I'm like, okay, you kind of ghosted me, like that kind of. But like, there's so many in the app where I'll say something, and like, either I'll just get distracted and won't message back, or they won't message back. And if it's still in the app chat, I'm kind of like, that's Wild West. That's nothing personal,
right?
If it leaves the app, then I'm like, hey,
they got to know me and said no.
Yeah, then that's rough. Then that's
right. That's a rejection.
Sure. But we also know, we're not for everybody. Like, right. I'll be in an audience murdering and I'll see somebody that I am not for. They are having the worst time, to the point where they're almost angry that people are enjoying me. And I feel a little bad. I go, oh, my job is to entertain everybody. This is a miss, but I'm not for them. I tell jokes about cats and it's fine. And I can handle that kind of rejection. But there's something about one-on-one. I did my makeup. I showered. I'm a nice person. And someone's like, ugh. And you're like, Mom.
Right.
My mom. Me, I have a fan base. Like, there's so there, like, there becomes this like little kid part of
fuck me. I have a fan base,
but you do.
Other
you
people have agreed.
There are creepy dudes that want to fuck me. Why don't you want to fuck
that's
me?
So it's funny. Like, the worst men in America want to fuck me.
Yeah, right. What do you think? You're better than my worst fan. Like, you lose your
that's
mind.
So funny.
Maddie, what is your? You have a Hinge profile right now.
I do have a Hinge profile.
What is it? Do you want to share? What do you have? Any prompts that
I could share? Yeah,
I would love to hear your prompts.
I'm gonna be honest. We're in a bit of a dry spell. The Hinge profile is a little bit
maybe
slutty.
Maybe I can help. It's the slutty. Body.
It's not slutty. It's not like, come and fuck my hole. It's just like, there's pictures that I'm like, oh my, okay.
I want to hear the prompts because I think this is helpful to the listeners to hear. I think what we do, what we do with dating apps, and it's very bad, but it's also natural, is it's a lonely sport. You're zoned in. We never talk about it out loud. We never have it out. You may be a couple friends, but your friends are always going to be nice to you. I like hearing people's prompts because I would think of like, what could I say back? And I think that's something we don't think about.
That's good responses. If I wrote this out, like, just slight, like I talk about sugar, he wrote about sugar. Like, if I say, like, my dog's name is Petrie, it's just like, oh, did you get that from Land Before Time? Like, just fucking play the game 10%.
But if they don't, that means that's not, like, to me, we have to take no's to be as good as a yes. We have to take, and this is the other thing that I was going to say, because you said, like, I'm late to life, to apps. I was a little naive. I always say to people, if it's weird to you on the app, it's weird.
Yeah.
This is not happening because it's dating culture today. Oh, I'm new here. No, you're a human.
Yeah.
You're an adult who goes through every day. You know weird. You know that doesn't taste good. You know it doesn't taste good. You don't like it. It's okay. Some people like tuna fish, I can't put it in my mouth, okay? Yeah. That's okay. I want to hear Maddie's.
Okay, I want to preface it by saying, when you're talking about kind of like weeding people out, not weeding people out, but the testing them a little bit, some of these are kind of like, they're a little like...
Just read
it. I'm trying to be funny because I'm like, if you don't think this is funny, then it's not going
to
hang. I'm not being like cute and flirty. Some of them are a little, okay.
Maddie, this is why you're going to find someone on these apps. I can tell. Like, you're already setting yourself up for success.
Oh, thank you.
It's actually, I'm thinking a lot about this. I'm for those watching, I'm writing a book. Woo! So I am in the process of writing a book. That's right.
Are you an author?
I will be. Not yet.
Wait, that's so sick.
So it's a dating book. And so I'm talking right now. I'm thinking a lot about, you know, the prompts and stuff. And like, we're going to like show examples. There's going to be like graphs and pictures. It's going to be like
someone that got a boyfriend, I feel like I should be examples.
What?
Like,
right. Yeah.
As a success story. We've been dating 7 months. I'm like, as a success story.
As a married woman, almost. Yeah. Seven months
in New York City. As a betrothed woman.
Oh, you're basically. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was just been thinking about like saying it out loud is so important. So that's why I'm asking. Like, but I would say like when you're like, if you don't get the joke, it's weird. We have to like, it's like one of those things. It's like, yes, that's the answer. So you have to think my prompt someone might not get. That's a good thing. And it's like,
can I tell you my favorite, like my two favorite profiles ever was a guy that the only thing he wrote was something like not my dog. And you're just, but like all the pictures are just him doing whatever he is. And at the end, it's a dog by itself, blurred face.
So funny.
It was just like, oh, I like the structure of this.
Well, that's
when people have a through line.
Yes.
That's fun.
And you're like, oh, that's a storyteller.
I love that both of you love it because you're both artists. You both love that there's a little bit of a quirk to it. Someone saw Not My Dog and they were immediately angry.
Yeah.
Because they've seen that profile before. This guy's taking that trope, flipping it on its head. You got it.
Yeah.
I know for a fact women saw that and was like, not my dog. And then they did their own blog for the brunch table about the not my dog guy. I know that happened.
Gut laughed. Screenshotted it. Sent
thing.
It to all my friends. Never messaged him. Wasn't interested. But great joke.
There's so many of that where I'm like, wow, you're so funny. It's a shame that I don't want to fuck you.
But this is the thing. This is the thing.
But I have so many tips for your career.
But this is the thing. This is so funny because this is the thing. We do for ourselves. We go, funny, not interested, not for me, no harm, no foul. But when it's done from the other side, we go, well, you didn't love my joke?
Yeah,
you didn't love me? What the fuck is going on?
Just so you know, I get paid for these jokes. Right. And you got it for free,
you don't want to die at my feet? You know? Well, I want to hear your prom. And then so for today's episode, we're already in here. We're doing a mailbag. We're going to do a listener submitted Am I Crazy Dog. We're going to do another mailbag question about sex toys. We got a luxury lounge, and we're going to do TikToks that made me feel on Patreon. So, guys, if you want to sign up for the Patreon, patreon.com/JaredFreed, $5 a month to get the end of every episode. Plus, I'm in so many cities. I'm traveling this great country of ours. I don't know when this comes out. April's a big month for me, I got to say. I am like, it is actually crazy. This is coming out April 2nd.
April 1st.
So if you're out there in Boise, Idaho, I don't know if there's very many people in Boise, Idaho, because we're having trouble. So come on out. Olympia, Washington. I've done Tacoma. It's right near there, I've heard. Vancouver. Denver, we're selling out. Denver, we're doing okay. San Francisco, we're doing okay. Pittsburgh, after that. But that's my month of April.
I love you yelling at your fans. Boise, just come.
Just
what are you
come.
Doing?
What are you doing in Boise?
Yeah.
Like potato hunting? What are we doing? It's like, no, but I've never been. So I understand the cities that, you know, there's going to be a lot of people. And I know the cities that we might have to like pull some strings here. So Boise is one of those cities. So Boise, jaredfree.com. Go to my calendar. I added Milwaukee. I added the Hamptons.
Oh.
That's right. I'm very fancy. That's so funny when you do a show in the Hamptons. People are like, ooh, fancy. It's like, no, I'm the clown they're shipping in. I'm...
It's like, do you say that to the guy who delivers the crabs?
Right.
People got to work here.
Right. It's like an Uber driver in the Hamptons. Ooh, driving Uber in the Hamptons. It's like, no, I got a call to drive someone out here, and now I live here. Like,
also, I did the Hamptons over the summer. I think I did it in June, and I had never been. And I guess in my mind, I thought that all of the Hamptons was like a gated community. And then go, and it's like, fucking Long Island. It's just like a Dunkin' Donuts next to a Lululemon next to a Target. Like, I was just like, this is just the, I know I'm not being let into these like exclusive, you know, country clubs or whatever, but I literally was like, in my mind, you like crossed over some line and they gave you a crown or your own apartment.
There is, it is, having been and having seen like the areas that are like the ones you'd think of, you're like, oh, this is like crazy that someone's like reality is this. But then you go 10 feet in another direction. You're like, oh, mall town. You know, like it's not that big a deal. But the one thing about the Hamptons, I will say, they have a culture of house guests. Big house guest culture. They love, if someone has a Hamptons home, they love having someone stay at their home. And in my mind, if someone's like, come stay with me at my house, I'm like, no fucking way. I don't need to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to like shower in your stuff. Where's the towel? I don't want to do all that. And then I went, and I will say they are fantastic at having a house guest.
So it's like a personalized Airbnb situation.
Yes. And what they do is
nobody uses that bathroom but the house guest.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they ain't going to come to that wing of the house.
Yeah.
And it's like a very, so if you're out there and you have the opportunity, if someone, don't do what I did. Cause I was like, no way. I don't stay in other people's house. What's the nearest Hampton Inn? Like, it's like, no. Stay in the house. Be nice. Be thankful. And I will say it's just because it's hard to get out to. It's like far away. So they know that. Like, no one's looking to make a night in the Hamptons. You have to spend a weekend to like experience it. So maybe you'll come visit during my show. I'm there over the summer. Read one of your prompts. I want to hear your weirdest one.
Okay. This one, okay. I bet you can't is the
Okay,
prompt.
I bet you can't is I the bet you headline. Can't.
Truly, I don't believe in you. I mean it. It's fun. That's kind of a fun time.
I love that. What would I respond to that? I don't believe in
just
you.
Just so you know, the guy that likes that has come from a really bad home. Just so you know, from a therapist perspective, you're going to get a broken man.
Or a subservient kink.
Sure.
You know, you're going to get like a certain type
of... Yeah, but that's not even my thing.
Okay, yeah, so you're setting yourself up for failure.
You know what's so fucked up? I used to have a prompt in here about the emu war. Do you know the emu war?
Mm-mm.
The Australian government went to war against this bird, the emus. They were like destroying their crops and they had a real military operation. And I had mentioned it in my profile. And the guys who respond to that, good Lord. I was like, I got to take it out. But I think it's so interesting. I keep committing to the bit despite the fact that it's not attracting the people I want to attract.
Well, it's so funny because the emu war, I understand like the guy mentality is like, oh my God, thing I know that this one woman knows who I'm attracted to? I got to make sure I do. And then they just spew every emu war fact that they have.
Like paragraphs.
Yeah. I know that mentality. I know where that comes from. Finally, I found the Zooey Deschanel of my life. You know, that's the impetus for that.
I gotta stop.
Oh my God, quirky info. I got it. You know, like the one girl that, because here's the thing for every guy. The dream is for you to think, this is a high school dream, is the one girl in the school that you think is hot that no one else thinks is hot. Because there's so no funny competition, but you're like, and then you'll go to the lunch table and you're like, you know what I think is that? And everyone's like, and then they all at once, everyone screams the same name. And you're like, oh, we all have the undercover hot girl on their minds. Damn it.
I will say this is so toxic and I'm not proud of it, but I have had that where I'm attracted to a guy and I'm like, he's so like weird and only I get it. And then someone else is like, he's so hot. And I'm like, fuck.
Right.
So everyone's trying to fuck him. God damn it.
And then you're like, honestly, I don't find him attractive and he's dumb. Yeah. So I'm just putting that out there. If that's what you like.
I heard his family's racist.
Yeah. Just real, like truly ruining someone's life so that you can have him.
Right. Let's go to the mailbag. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending these in. We're going to go to the mailbag.
Did you?
We lost V for a second.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. help. If you're constantly giving to others and neglecting yourself, it may seem like the right thing to do, but it's going to wear you out. Online therapy through BetterHelp can teach you how to make yourself a priority. You'll learn positive coping skills, how to set boundaries, and how to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for people with major trauma. Whatever you're going through, BetterHelp is there for you. What I love about BetterHelp is that it's a marketplace. You go on there, you fill out their quiz, they fix you up with a licensed professional, and then you can do your therapy while driving around your neighborhood in the car. You can do it wherever you feel most comfortable. I love that because it's a tailored option to you, and it's also a great foot into the water of therapy. If you've never done it before, this isn't Googling, I need a therapist. This is a marketplace where they're going to have professionals that are going to be tailored to you. BetterHelp is 100% online and suited to your schedule. Again, tailored. Just fill out a quick questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you'll be on your way. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That's huge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/JTrain today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/JTrain. It's wedding season, people, and you're going to need to look sharp. Luckily, Indochino has you covered with fully custom suits starting at just $499, and you can look like $1 million. I just went to my brother's wedding, and yeah, I was stressed out about fitting into my tux and my suit. It's a stress. And those suits and tuxes were tailored to me. And I want you to feel good. When you don't have to stress about whether the suit fits or the tux fits, it is like literally a mental vacation. And you can design it to be you. You're not off the rack. I'm not off the rack. I don't have an off the rack body. I'm special order. Design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every single detail. Customize your lapels, linings, pocket flaps, or even add a monogram. You know, my brother got me cufflinks as a best man's gift, and it had my initials, like, little itty-bitty, like, tiny. And it just felt good. It felt mine. It felt like it was a part of my body, so to speak. It was special. Set up your measurements profile on Indochino's website and choose your customizations without even leaving the house. This is also great because once your measurements are in, you can just go around the website and dance. Like, there's no stress of put on the pants, take off the pants, try on the shirt. No. The measurements are in. Now you go shop and have fun and get creative. You can book an appointment at a showroom also, and style guides will walk you through every single step. I am such a huge fan of customize. I am a weirdly shaped, I'm broad shoulders, short torso. So I am telling you right now, nothing makes me feel better than having something tailored. You are going to love having beautiful clothes that are tailored to you. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Also, when it's tailored and it fits well, you want to dance more. You want to eat the food more. You want to have a drink more. You want to be more involved. You are more there mentally. Go to Indochino.com today. Use code JTRAIN to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's a suit. That's one suit, and you're getting money back. That's Indochino.com, promo code JTRAIN.
I love that the emo war was up there. I was like, let's learn.
We had the emo war. Also, an emu looks scary as fuck.
They are huge birds.
Just so you know, emu oil is something I used to put on my face, and it's really good for moisturizing.
Really?
And I don't look my age. Continue.
Is it from an emu?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's...
Have you been to Australia?
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
It was an Asian woman that told me to put it on my face, okay. And I listened, because she always made my face better, and she was like, it's very moisturizing. I was like, and here we are, putting emu oil.
The emu oil is extracted from the thick fat on the emu's back.
Yeah, bro.
To remove the oil and the surrounding fat, the emu has to be killed.
Oh, no.
Murdered emus.
Yeah, but the Australians were already doing it. Yeah. I'm just helping.
It's called supporting the war effort. Yeah. You're buying bonds. Yeah. You're stopping using rubber or whatever.
I don't do it anymore, but I have to say it was lovely.
Liz Mealy has chosen a side.
Also, what is that picture of the emu that's like, sorry. Just like Newsweek top 100 influential people of the year.
You're absolutely
like, what is that
right.
graphic design? Like, oh, is he launching a startup?
It really does look like an important emu.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That looks like
he started the war. So
yeah, it's an op-ed about how we need to stop the war. Yeah,
right. That's the head dictator, the emu dictator that's running the war. Let's go to the mailbag, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. We're here with Liz Mealy, the special Murder Sheets. It's out on YouTube. Go subscribe to her channel right now. Maddie Wiener's going on the road. She has an email list that you can join. I would encourage everyone watching, listening, enjoying this great podcast to go get involved with Maddie Wiener's email list. You're going to love her stand-up. Dear Jared and guests, my boyfriend have been together for 3 years. Have lived together the majority of the time. We moved quickly at first. I started the relationship with pretty low self-esteem, so I would do dumb things like look through his work backpack for absolutely no reason. The first time I did this, I found a large black dildo in there. I had no idea what to do about this discovery, so I never said anything to him or anyone else until now. Yeah, you're telling the whole podcast audience. I told myself that was his business and he can be into whatever he wants to be into. The problem is that our sex life has never been stellar. The frequency is not what I'd like it to be, and when we do have sex, it's usually predictable. That being said, there have been a few times that he's shown a side of him that wants to be dominant.
Oh, let's go.
I mean, this guy might have written into your prompt. He likes being choked, and when I do what I want with him, she puts in quotes, when I try to talk to him about sex, he gets uncomfortable and essentially blames how he feels about his body as the reason for infrequent romps. For the record, he has a great body, and it's wild to me how he could think otherwise. So back to this dildo. I've only peeked in his backpack a few more times over the years, which I know is wrong. But now it has nothing to do with my self-esteem. I truly trust him completely when it comes to faithfulness. It's now a curiosity about what sex toys I might find. I have not seen the dildo again, but it's been replaced with what I'm pretty sure is a vibrating butt plug. I assume this just means he likes butt play. But recently I also discovered a pair of panties in there. Flattering, I guess, but they aren't even good panties. They're old, ugly granny panties. I guess well, this backpack is like Mary Poppins.
I was about to say.
The fact that it's a backpack, it's not like a box in his closet. It's a backpack. Well, you take on a trip.
Right, he's
like
carrying it around somewhere. So that she won't find his shit. They live together.
Yeah, I mean, and this is from the beginning. At no point are you like, this guy's not faithful, or you don't care that he's not faithful?
Oh, I think he's just a freak and he's embarrassed to tell her.
I think he is too.
I say freak lovingly.
Right?
Like he's carrying it around and not using it? No, he's carrying it around and using it.
You think
but I think he's
going...
using it like in the bathroom when she's not home.
Ooh.
He's not cheating.
Liz brings up a point, I guess, that I never would have thought of. Like, I guess like he's traveling with it. So why is he traveling with it?
Anybody else puts it in a box where someone wouldn't look. This is somebody that's like, I'm leaving for the weekend. Let me get my butt plug. Like,
right, I love
the portability is concerning.
Yeah, I like that she's like, I truly trust him completely. Well, not anymore. We just brought up some, I guess I'm looking for some kind of explanation from a male point of view of how this all might tie together and what I can do to get some attention away from the butt plug and into my pants. He's so weird about talking about our sex life, but something has to be done. Appreciate any insight and advice. P.S. My boyfriend is a big comedy guy, and after making him watch 37 and Single, you gained another male fan. Well,
and here
we
are going to lose it.
Right.
In and out.
He's sitting there like, well... It's purple, not black, but maybe this is all it is about me. What do we think?
I mean, I mean, he's clearly into stuff that he thinks that she can't provide, and he's getting it elsewhere. Like, it just feels pretty obvious to me that that part of his life is being solved somewhere else where he feels like he doesn't have to, like... When someone stays with somebody and their sex life isn't what they want it to be, they like them as a person. They don't want to hurt their feelings, right. And they're embarrassed about what they want and need. And they go find it somewhere else so that they can be with the person in this other capacity.
Maddie, what do you think?
I think also, I think probably. But I also think there's a possibility he's not cheating.
Yeah.
And he just has this very kinky side of him where he wants to be dominated. He's into butt play. He's into like, you know what I mean? Like, fetishes that are kind of around, like, shame or being, like... You know what I mean? Like, he's stealing her panties. Like, that obviously, like, turns him on.
I don't think it's her panties. He's stealing someone else's panties.
Like, or they're his.
No, they're his. She found a pair of her own underpants in there.
I also discovered a pair of my panties in there. Flattering, I guess, but they aren't even good panties. They're old, ugly granny panties.
I think this guy has like a domination, humiliation kind of kink that he's embarrassed to bring up to her and be like, hey, we could fuck more because this is how I want you to fuck me.
Right.
And I think probably it's a lot of it has to do with like masculinity and stuff too. Like that's like, especially like if you're a straight dude, that's probably like a hard thing to admit. So it also becomes a question for her of if that is what he wants.
Are you
is
down?
That, yeah. Is are that the kind down? Of sex you want to have?
As the Rosa Parks of male ass play.
Yeah.
Straight male ass play. Mm-hmm. As I've referred to myself for years on this podcast.
Rosa Parks stays in the back.
That's right. Thank you. I can understand the idea that this guy is embarrassed. And the idea of like being a straight male. That's the only one we keep in a box in 2024 in the most liberal cities. Not everywhere. I'm not saying everywhere is this like free haven for, you know, letting your freak flag fly. But even if you go to Brooklyn, you go to the most liberal parts of Brooklyn, everyone's okay with everyone except straight dude with a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
And I would say that, you know, the judgment is still allowable for that guy in the most liberal spaces. Like, this person sounds like a progressive person. They both sound progressive as far as sex is concerned. She's found the dildo. She goes, that's his business. I'll stay away. They stayed together. So obviously, she enjoys him too. So I think you guys are right. I don't know, cheating, not cheating, that's on the menu of things that could be happening. But I'm not going to, like, say that, but I would say to her, she's got to look at how she feels about it. Like, I think a lot of people want their things that make them turned on to also be enjoyed by their partner.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone wants to do something that their partner's like weirded out by, sees them in a different light because of. And I think maybe he saw in your eyes the minute he was questioned on this that you saw him a different way, not in an attractive way. I think this needs to be she's like, he gets so weird when it comes up. I think you got to like find another way to bring this up. And maybe it's in a way where you take these hints and play that role for him if you want. I can't tell her how to feel.
Sure, but there's always something where, like, as a woman, you take the complete lead, like the emotional, the sexual, the whatever lead, and you're like, hey, man, I can't hold your hand through the whole thing. So I'm going to bring it up. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to keep saying, like, let's get past this. Let's be open about it. But at some point, like, I actually think a lot of relationships end because why is it my job to make you feel comfortable about the thing that you're not even willing to talk about when I don't care if we do ass shit or not. Like, it's like, here, it always feels like women have to do 99% of the lean forward and the guys are like, I'm uncomfortable. And you're like, okay, just so you know, we're never going to hang out again if you can't even do 10% of the, like, I'm opening the door, I'm inviting you in, I brought snacks, I'm open to talking about it, I'm holding a dildo. Like, I don't know how else to show you that I'm open to this other side, but if you can't even talk about it, then
I think that's maybe 10 steps further than we are right now.
Sure.
I hear what you're saying. Like, listen, there's only so much you can do.
Sure, and but it sounds like a woman that's brought it up a few times and she wouldn't be writing into a stranger if she was at step one.
I think there might be a different version of step one. Yeah. Like, I think maybe the version of, like, we need to talk about the dildo in your backpack is, like, a little less fun and less encouraging. And I do understand why men need the women to lead on this, because if a woman walked into the bar, and I've used this example before, if a guy walked into the bar and someone was like, that guy likes a finger in the butt, I used to do it all the time to him, everyone would go, whoa, murmur, 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 murmur. Now, if a woman walked into the bar and a guy was like, that woman used to like my finger up her butt, all the men would be racing to get her number. So I do, there is a difference, you know, so.
Sure.
But I understand what he's fighting against.
3 years in, how much more trust can you build? I mean, that's where I get frustrated in any relationship. And I know this is personal, where it's like, I can't keep starting from square one with you every time. I've told you I loved you. I told you I trust you. I told you I want to talk about it. I'm told you I'm willing to experiment. Where, like, at some point, you have to trust that I'm not going to be scared of your dildo.
I think it's got to be a hug whisper technique. So it's
explain your hug whisper.
The hug whisper. It's a hug and then a whisper in the ear. So when you go, so I think she needs to like, I think next time they're in the throes of things, let's move the way that you, it feels like he wants you to move in the dominant space and in a way that's comfortable for her. I also I don't want to encourage her to like, if she's like, this totally turns me off, then there's a different conversation.
Yeah.
I think you have to admit like maybe you guys aren't a sexual match and maybe this relationship's going to be in trouble because you're already writing into us saying my sex life is not what I want it to be. And you have to admit that that might be something that is important to you in the way that means this relationship won't work out. But if you're in, you're like, if you can go that direction in the way that makes you feel comfortable and you try to do that, and then, so you're hugging him with the thing you think he likes. And then once it's kind of happened, you whisper him, what do we like? What did you like about that?
Yeah.
What did you not like about that? What, I had the feeling that that's what you're into. You know what? And then like, let him know, I get turned on by this version of that. I don't think I can do that. Now it's a negotiation. I don't think they've done a negotiation yet. And I think that happens more comfortably when you're like in this trusting bedroom space rather than like kitchen table. All right, let's write out the, I don't know. I think that would be hard. I think in a 3-year relationship, the shirt gets buttoned up and then you're like, fuck, I missed one of the buttons and you got to unbutton and it feels like it's so
far. Whoa, that's so well put.
Well, I heard it once at an open mic, actually. I heard someone say that their dad said that to them, that like the hard, you have to unbutton the shirt. But it's like, that happens in a lot of relationships. Like we started this way. Now I'm walking around every day with a backpack full of dildos because I'm afraid my girlfriend will find them in the house.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and we're sitting here being like, maybe he's cheating. Maybe he's so fucked up by this, but he's got like a, he's just got to like keep it on his person so no one finds it, which is a little strange.
I also just find it hard to like relate to people that are like, yeah, we don't talk about anything. Like we don't like, you know what I mean? Like, it's such a big part of your connection with your partner to like not talk about that one thing that is like, you know, in the connecting, trusting, sex, you know, love, like, that's like one of the pillars. And like, you're just always like, hey man, you got to fix a pillar. And if you don't fix a pillar or you can't fix a pillar, that's, you can keep
dating. It's hard to understand, but it's also the reason most relationships don't work out.
For sure.
You leave one thing out and you're like, now it's digging.
And they're not
at
always going to be perfect. I'm not saying like sometimes your sex life's going to go down, but you love each other and you're supportive. And sometimes, you know, your sex life is incredible, but you're both really busy at work. Like it is all like this kind of ebb and flow, but you at least have to kind of at some point have had all of it hashed out.
Maddie, have you ever had this conversation with someone that you're like, how do we figure this out?
Like, how do we figure out like what you're into and what I'm into?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I've definitely had like stuff where it's like, I can't do something if it turns me off. Like I'll have a boundary of like, hey, that will take me out of it and I can't do it. But I have had conversations where it's like, you're into this thing, I'm neutral on it, and it turns me on that it turns you on, so I'm down.
I think
that
so,
I can.
That's one
fun.
Of those things that she has to acknowledge to him, I think. That would be, because like neutral, but your excitement makes me excited.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a plus, you know? And also, I think that's like, the fear is like, from her end, I would understand like, is this an every night thing? Every night I gotta fucking take out these swords and start, you know, putting them in your nose and shit. Like,
swords,
what the fuck?
You have to build a dungeon under the bed.
And I think that's not the case either. I think the reality is it's like, I think this person would be more of a sexual partner if they knew everything was out there. You know,
sure.
Like where now the regular sex is more regular and the other stuff happens once and again and can be brought up for a special night or of sorts.
Yeah, so, yeah. It doesn't mean that it has to happen all the time. And it also maybe would open up a conversation. Maybe there's stuff that she's into that they're not doing that, like, it might be good.
Just regular
both ways.
Sex seems like it's not happening.
Right.
So there's,
right.
But I mean, you're so open to so many fun emoji exchanges to be like, you know what I mean? Like that you're missing out on because you'd be like, oh, is it dildo night? Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah, there's emojis that no one uses, like the chain link.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like if you get into kinky stuff, that's what all those miscellaneous office supplies are for.
It's all kinky. Emojis. Yeah, let's do an Am I Crazy Dog. Send in your Am I Crazy Dog to jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. And this is the safe space for questions, complaints and asking the world, am I the crazy one?
Just because you're on a health journey doesn't mean that bread needs to get cut out of your diet. Enter Hero Bread. Hero Bread has no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories plus protein and fiber to help you feel full. Don't get scared away because it's healthy for you. Hero Bread tastes great and retains that soft and fluffy consistency you're used to. They've got sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, so get ready to enjoy your grilled cheese burger or tacos without the carbs. I love Hero Bread because you know what they did? They saw a problem. All of us want to eat bread, and we know it's a lot of calories and can get in the way of us feeling better and being healthier. So they're like, okay, let's make a better bread. Let's go to the lab and do it up. The tortilla, awesome. I make a breakfast burrito with it, and I'm not adding the extra calories, and I'm not losing out. I'm not wishing for a different tortilla. It's delicious. The sliced bread, I was making toast. Nothing feels better than having some toast with your eggs. Shake mealtimes up even more with their cheddar biscuits, Hawaiian rolls, and croissants. Here's the thing. We're about efficiency here. You want to have a cheddar biscuit, and do you want the one with 200 calories or the one with 400 calories? It's a math equation. And we just want good while also staying lean and staying lean on calories. That's what Hero Bread is going to give you. Their website even features tons of delicious recipes like game day nachos, PB&J baked French toast to give you an extra inspiration. I love it. I love that they're saying we want to eat, we want to have fun, we want to have delicious, and we also want to cut out all the stuff that gets in our way of being healthy. Don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go 10% off. So 10% off right off the top. Done. Go to hero.co. Use code JTRAIN at checkout. That's code JTRAIN at hero.co. hero.co. Code JTRAIN. Who says girls in their push-up bras get to have all the fun? Enhance your package with MeUndies Contoured Pouch and Ball Caddy. Mmm. The micromodal sling keeps things separated and lifted, so much so that 9 out of 10 women swear that it'll make you look huge. This is one of those things. Listen, I wasn't searching for an underwear to make my bulge look huge, but then when you get it, you go, I'm feeling pretty good. You walk a little taller, you're more comfortable, you're a little more, you feel sexy, which is a nice feeling. From all black classics to fun prints that show off your sense of style, MeUndies has a look for everyone. I love what they're doing. I like that MeUndies is trying. I like that they're giving you options. You can have the sexy, push-up ball option, or you can have just a regular, all monochrome underwear, or you can get prints that are fun and hilarious. So I just like that they're comfortable. And right now you have an underwear that you're dealing with, one that you kind of go, oh, everything's in the wash, I guess I'll wear it. Get rid of that one. Give yourself the gift. Throw that one away and put a MeUndies in the rotation. If you can't get enough of their underwear, they got loungewear, joggers. The joggers are great. Hoodies, onesies, so you can be wrapped head to toe in total comfort.
I love the Boxer Brief 3-pack. It's so many great colors, and they are super soft.
Good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/feather. That's MeUndies.com/feather for 20% off plus free shipping. That's some free money, people. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Jared, esteemed guest, Feather, happened to be listening to your pod when I had an Am I Crazy Dog moment, so I figured I'd write in. My building has a gym, and in the gym are a bunch of standard treadmills and ellipticals, as well as 2 standing desk treadmills. I already don't like this gym. Standing desk treadmills in the gym, that's no one bonkers. Would ever leave it.
That's bonkers.
Just have it be a regular treadmill. Like, I don't want people doing their Excel spreadsheet for 3 hours. I work remotely, so I like to bring my laptop in. Okay, I hate this person. And get some steps when I don't have any meetings. But how? What's the limit? As I get there today, I see some guy with a laptop is working on one hand, and a woman just steps in onto the other. As I get there today, I see some guy with a laptop is working on one, and a woman just steps onto the other and is about to begin walking, but she has no computer. This is the problem. Just two drinks and her keys. I wait for a pause in the phone she's having over her headphones.
I'm assuming that's supposed to say phone conversation.
I'm waiting for a pause in the conversation she's having over her headphones. Red flag, the writer writes, and ask if she's minds using one of the regular treadmills. They all have two cup holders and none are in use. She turns and looks at me with my laptop and laptop stand, does the quick disgusted look, says, yeah, I guess I can, then picks up her things and moves to one of the other treadmills. What is with the attitude? You're using the standing desk for cups. The other treadmills have cup holders. I cannot use the other treadmills. Am I crazy, dog? Is this person crazy for being annoyed?
No, but also I want to know where she lives. I want to know, like, anybody that has a gym in their building, I'm just like, you have no problems. I'm sorry. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just a little bit like,
I had a gym in my last building. We had many problems. I had a lot of issues.
Your building might have problems, yeah. And you might have problems, but your life is fine.
Listen, this is the place for people with no problems.
Jared, your life is fine.
I'm okay, yeah.
And I have no real problems. And I think in the reality of life, you just everything is a problem and you just learn how to put out fires, right?
Right.
And
this is a fire.
Yeah, and this is, I understand her, and I am 100% on her side, where it's just like, it's basic courtesy.
Right.
It takes almost no effort to do a little scan and be like, that's not for me.
Right, well, this is,
as a general principle, if you can do something else, but the other person can't, you're not the one being inconvenienced, you're the one with the more options.
Right.
That being said, laptop to the gym, standing desk, like WeWork Equinox is not in
but
the
they've
real...
already established this reality, so we can't question
right.
her.
I'm annoyed at the gym, but this is the other side of what I'm annoyed at. Like,
we can't be annoyed at the situation. This is what the they said. It's okay. There's two places where you can have a laptop. That's would I be annoyed that that's a reality? Yes, but in this situation, she's not wrong. And I hate when people have an attitude about something that's actually, she said it very nicely. I already know this woman is just like,
let me tell you something that just happened before I got here. I went and got something to eat before I came and a coffee. I'm sitting, they have a seating area in the back. Okay. I'm at one table. I sit, I have my phone out. I'm sitting headphones in. Two women with three children come up. The two women seem like they know each other. There's two little boys and a little girl. One woman sits on the left side of me with the little girl, and another woman sits on the right side of me with the two little boys. Now I am legitimately
a father.
Father to the That's right. That's right. They're jumping around, they're yelling to the girl over me. This all would have been I'm annoyed. Because you have
I thought
this...
you were about to cry.
Yeah. You're like...
It ruined my breakfast. I was annoyed because I was like, you could have made this simple. Before you sat down, the whole circus around me, I'm like the house and up. You built your whole community around me. Why don't you say, hey, sir, we got a whole group here. Can you mind moving to the left? So that we can sit over here. Mm-hmm. We got a bunch of animals with us. Like, that to me is an acknowledgement that your kids are kids and they're annoying to everyone else who's not their parents. And it says it's a respect thing. When you sit around me, you didn't even have the respect to ask me. It would be weird of me to get angry if you had been like, hey, do you mind moving over? We got these like three kids. And now I'm more offended. That you didn't just say, hey, sir, can we just like sit? Like you thought, no, the kids will be fine. We'll sit around. We'll sit on top of this guy. He's a jungle gym. He's just a bump on a log.
But in their defense, though, it's like I'm already underwater. And if this guy gives me this attitude, this standing this attitude, it's going to take what is already overwhelming and make it even more overwhelming.
But to me, it's the math. It's the math. You have one standing desk.
She's brave.
Right.
The mothers were like, I can't handle if this guy yells at me. Like, you know what I mean? And I this, she has every right to be annoyed because it's like, I did the common courtesy. I read the room and I was like, hey, would you be willing to? And most people be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Yeah, you're totally right. Give me a second. And in that situation, they did the calculation of, should I say something to this guy? And they're like, you know what? If this guy gives me even any of attitude, all these kids are going to die and I can't handle it. And I think, like,
I think assuming that someone, we can't assume the crazies.
Sure.
You know, like, this woman is crazy for giving attitude.
For sure. But that is standard. I am a bitch on the subway. Mm. I there's no reason for your bags to be on the seat. There's no reason for you to have fucking a wide stance. I'm tired. I don't care that you can't tell I'm tired. Mm. And I, like, even this, I was coming over this morning and the guy is in the two-seater diagonal. Mm. And I stand over. He doesn't see me. I see his headphones. I wave in front of his glasses. Mm-hmm. He looks up and I go, can I sit there? And he pauses and I start walking towards. I'm not playing this game. I will fight you. I don't have a knife, but I'll find one. Like, there's just like, I think you have to be like a true New Yorker to be like, I will die for this seat.
Right.
And I kind of understand these, like, I believe this is a brave stance because the attitude, just like we talked about dating, it's a form of rejection and it makes you crazy. And I could see the battery on a mother with kids by herself being like, this guy giving me an attitude might ruin my day.
I can see that I, as a mother or father or whatever it is, I want everyone inconvenienced less.
Sure.
If my goal is for, you know, John Doe having his breakfast to not be annoyed by my kids, I'm saying to him, you will be happier.
A seat over from where you are
than rather than being the old man and up, where buildings of children have risen amongst you.
Yeah.
To this person, you're not crazy. It's crazy that there's standing desks at your gym.
Yeah.
It is not crazy to live in the reality of, hey, move it, sister.
Yeah.
You don't have a PC computer on your treadmill. Let's do another mailbag question. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Am I allowed to tell my boyfriend he can't be friends with his ex?
Hmm.
I, 32-year-old female, have been dating one of my best friend's brother-in-law, 35, for the past 3 months or so. One of my best friend's brother-in-law. So this is a high-level boyfriend, in my opinion.
For sure. Yeah.
We met through all the wedding events and hit it off at the wedding. August 2023. But I was dating someone and he just got out of a 12-year relationship and was casually dating as well.
Whoa.
There's a lot of moving pieces here. Fast forward to December. We saw each other at holiday get-togethers. I had been on the tail end of my relationship needing to end it and he had been dating a girl who lived 2 hours away. I decided to DM him, bad I know, and we talked from there. It was becoming more clear we needed to end things with our current relationships and finally did it in January. Since then, it has been moving quickly. He said, I love you, even before we were both single. We've had many talks about my fear of us not trusting each other if we were unhappy. We have had great communication so far. It's already starting in a place of bad. When you're not even single saying I love you, like, I can understand where you're like, well, if he'll do it to me, it might do it.
But also, like you said, it's a high stakes where it's just like, yo, if this doesn't work out, I ruin my brother's life.
Right.
And it's also red flags to me, out of a 12-year relationship, next person you meet, I love you.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, oh, you're filling the I love you hole a little bit.
He asked me early on if I had a problem with him being friends with his ex. They dated 12 years, never engaged, and no kids, as they talk pretty regularly. See, that's a problem. This is the 12-year relationship that he's out of. They're still talking.
Oh, but it's so hard because that's your best friend for 12 years. I also get it. Sorry, I know.
No, listen, we're talking this out. It ended badly, her cheating. Then him cheating back when he thought he could forgive her. Oh, that's messy.
Still, he's got to stop.
Yeah, she still
has. Yo, this is a lasagna. Like, this is, like, I'm just like, this is like a lasagna that has, like, none of the right ingredients. Right. Where you're just like, wait, you use sour cream and
cheddar? And cigarettes? She still has mail that comes to the house. That's more normal than she's.
Yeah.
There are things things here she hasn't taken yet, and they had both kept a dog when they broke up. At that point, I didn't know what to say and felt it was too early to say if I was comfortable or not. Recently, she's fallen on hard times and has been venting to him about it. He even considered offering his home to her to stay, and he would stay elsewhere if she needed it. She has also asked if he thought they could work it out a few times now, and he says he's told her no. This past week, she asked if they could have a doggy day. This past week, she asked if they could have a doggy play date, and he also declined. We have kept our relationship pretty private just due to the timing, and he doesn't want her to find out through social media or anyone but him. He feels he should tell her in person, as he prefers to deliver bad news in person and doesn't want to hurt her feelings. He said if I'm not comfortable, then he won't do it. Today, he told me he was stopping by her work on the way home to pick up something for his upcoming work trip. I have asked why he feels, you gotta go closer. I have asked why he feels he owes her this, and I can't see it. I have asked why he feels he owes her this, and he feels he is leading her on and thus has to break it to her gently. Am I being an ass, as they have 12 years of history and he has verbally reassured me he doesn't want her back? I wonder if I would feel differently about them being friends if she hadn't made it clear she wants him back. I don't think it's possible for her to just be friends with him and worry that if I gave him the ultimatum, he would resent me for it. Sincerely, 12 years a pain. What do we think? Tough one.
This is a mess.
It's a mess. It's one of my best friend's brother-in-law. I'm trying to think. Best friend's brother-in-law. So
your best friend married a guy, and then that person's brother is this guy.
Right.
Right?
I guess that.
Is she... She doesn't want him to tell the ex in person that he has a girlfriend now? Because I don't get. I think he has to do that.
I assumed that she knew the whole time. I thought he was like declining doggy daycare kids. He's like, hey, I got a girlfriend. But right. Now it's like, he's basically just being her friend. She's like, I want you back. And he's like, oh, I can't for undisclosed reasons.
Right.
He has to tell her he has a girlfriend now. Also, because if he's not telling her that he's in a relationship, there's the possibility that he enjoys seeing her. And even if he would never get back together with her, feeling like it could. Do you know what I mean?
For sure. Right. And I think, okay, your 12-year relationship ends. Not his choice. She cheated on him. He forgave her. Then he cheated because he clearly couldn't handle it. So everything's unresolved on all layers, right? So you have these unresolved feelings with these people that you actually really care about. It's not working out. You believe that it's probably not going to work out, but you haven't really processed your feelings. And then this person is saying, hey, I need you. I need you to talk to me because I'm really sad about this thing. Mm. Or, hey, my dog wants to hang out with your dog. Whatever it is, there's this friendship, which is the reason you stayed for 12 years, and it feels good. But I remember I dated this guy for 3 years, broke up with me, had every right to, was a psycho, and I was heartbroken. And then we would, you know, sleep together, and I was like, oh, maybe we'll get back together. And then he'd be like, absolutely not. And he would fuck with me. And finally, I realized he liked me as a person. He genuinely, I was a good girlfriend in this one area where like I was encouraging. I give a great pep talk. I know how to make people feel good. But this other side of being a girlfriend, I was atrocious. Hence why he didn't want to date me. But he tried to just have that part of me. And it took me, sadly, 8 months to be like, oh, you don't fucking get to have friendship, Liz. You don't get to have friendship, Liz, if you can't deal with psycho Liz. I've worked on psycho Liz. So, but I will say this. He wants to have friendship ex-girlfriend because that was what they had. But you can't have both sides of it. You either start a new relationship with this girl and be 100% in, or you can go deal with that mess with your ex. But both of you can't have the same friendship you had before without healing. You could heal and come back around, but neither of them healed.
But this is the
wow. Thing.
Yeah. It's
damn,
it's,
dude.
I'll slap a
it's
bitch.
A good, well, to add on to that, it's, she says, we've been together the past 3 months or so. You have been with him. He hasn't really been in a relationship with you.
I agree.
And that's like, you have to give something up to be in a relationship with someone. Like, and it's exactly the point. Like, you have to give up this friendship that does make you feel good in a certain way.
It was the reason you were together.
Yeah, 12 years. You can, but like, when someone's like, you know, they've been together 12 years. Yeah, but they broke up. Takes a lot to break up. Yeah. It takes like a huge moment. Mm. It takes a huge decision.
And it's not out of nowhere.
No, it's over. Like, if you were over, you were single, 12-year relationship, I don't care how long it went. Yeah, the mail, that's why the mail doesn't matter. Yeah, yeah. The mail comes because you were in a 12-year relationship. The doggy play date doesn't come because you were in a 12-year relationship. Yeah.
And they're not co-parenting a kid.
Right.
Yeah. There's like no thing where they have to be tied together still.
Right, but he's having it all because he has to tell this person
relationship. Sure, and I'm sure he's scared in the sense that like, this is predictable, this is unpredictable, and you have to make a leap to leave the somewhat predictable, even if it sucked, to go with what could also end up being a pile of trash.
Listen, I've had this, I've had this in my own life where I'm dating someone and I'm like, and I know there's a point where, like, you have to, like, now you have to have it on social media. Now you have to give up the DM that comes in that's like, hey, we should go on a date one time. You know, you have to give up, hey, can I fix you up? You have to give up all that, the variability, the possibility to dig into this other thing that, again, is unknown, just like you said. I don't know if it's going to work out. I know that it's either really good or it's going to be painful and I'm going to have to go through a breakup again. And I think a lot of guys generally do this where you go.
Because as two women, I don't think for a second I'm just like, yeah, I'm so excited to be like, ah, boyfriend.
I'm so excited to be in a relationship. I love a relationship.
Just deleting DMs. Yes. Like, everybody eat a dick. I got a boyfriend. He's better than you. Like, it's so exciting for a woman, and to a guy, it's just like, well, what if I lose 6 months of possibility?
Yeah, it's like limiting.
It's limiting. It's also like the only, I always say this, I'm like, the only thing that could ruin my life is a woman. And it's like, and there's truth.
Is that
that
on your dating profile?
It's on my day. I have merch.
That's so fucking funny.
I have merch.
Oh, this is that kind of podcast. Yeah.
That's right. Alpha males. It's not, but it's like, and I mean that in a loving way. Like, you know, oh, you get married, you have a kid. And it's like, you don't see like ruined men that are just like, oh, from a breakup of 3 months.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You see ruined men from a divorce with a sad life,
For sure. It's a really concise, good point, which is, I can control everything else, whether it's your work or your lifestyle, or your body or whatever. And this other thing, if I let myself go and get invested in this person and it either doesn't work out and I'm emotionally wrecked, or they are a disaster and they take my money or whatever it is,
whatever.
It can. I think it's more debilitating for men from an emotional and structural standpoint.
Not even to look at money, like friendships. You end up becoming friends with all her friends and their husbands.
Yeah.
And you're kind of the bad guy afterwards, kind of, no matter what happens.
Matter what happens.
Like, yes. It takes so much for people to be like, the woman was the bad guy. And that's it.
I'm known as a friendship stealer.
You take all the friends.
Oh, dude, because I'm just like, oh, you know, whatever. Like, I'm always level-headed. And then I'm just like, but if you want to get dinner, I am a friendship stealer. So it's just like,
who gets custody of the kids?
Who gets custody of the friends?
The kids. Yeah. I'm saying, like, you know, how hard it is for a dad to get custody of the kid. When you hear the dad has custody, you go, what did that fucking woman do?
Yeah, the lady was crazy.
That's your first thought. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck happened? Yeah. And that's not, you know, fair. No, emotional stuff is never fair. It's just what your mind goes. And so, but this guy's holding on to the ropes of his life and trying to like keep them all at the same time.
Yeah.
And he's got to let go of the rope of this 12-year. If he won't, if he won't tell this person, I'm in a new relationship, to respect this other person, I need to stop communication with you. We have history. We have a dog. We have to figure out a way to make it so I can concentrate on this new thing. If he won't do that, he's not ready.
And I 100%. Think to kind of what we're hitting on here is, it doesn't sound like he's still in love with her necessarily, or wants to go back to her, and all those things. But it's not so black and white that he can be like, not want to be in that relationship anymore, have let go of what he needs to let go do to be like present in a new relationship.
I have been that person, and I understand that. And you feel like shit. the longer it goes, you go, I gotta, it's coming. It's coming. You feel the countdown. Like the idea that like he's not oblivious. He knows exactly what he's doing to everyone. And he knows that one person's easier to deal with. The 12-year person, always easy to deal with because she cheated on him. Then he was allowed to cheat on her to like fix it weirdly. So they have this like thing that he can never get in trouble for. Like he's,
but she, again, is the unknown. Right. Am I going to let go of this to find out if this is good or
three
bad?
3 months unknown. Yes.
Of course.
I agree.
But I, it's, you know, she's making it clear that she doesn't want to put her foot down and give an ultimatum. But like we were even talking about at the beginning of this podcast, I consider everything data. Everything is data. So if you go, hey, I understand this relationship. I understand the pain with this. I understand this connection. But I want to be a priority in your life and I want to see where this goes. And we can't do it with you holding on.
Right.
So if you aren't ready, and this is scary, especially when you like somebody, if you are not ready to try this, I get it, but I cannot continue to do it. And it's not an ultimatum as much as it's respecting yourself and respecting him. He has not healed.
The ultimatum stuff gets such a bad reputation. I don't know where that came from. Like the accusation, you're gonna give me an ultimatum? What? And everyone's like,
it's not an ultimatum. It's life. This is not comfortable for either person, and it's unfair.
Right.
And you should respect yourself and what you want. And you don't want this. You don't want to be with somebody that's talking to their ex every week.
And I think when it's a choice between your comfort and your uncomfort, that's not an ultimatum. That gets thrown. It's not like you being like, you're giving up the video games or I won't fuck you. Like that's
not blackmail. Yeah. It's a clear boundary. Yeah.
Right. This is her going, listen, we've done 3 months. And the issue is her probably, am I crazy? No. Done 3 months. You enjoy his company. There's this other person around that he's not being... an ex isn't your friend if you're not telling him you have a new girlfriend.
Yes. Yeah. It'd be one thing, like you said, if they had healed and they really had a friendship.
Oh, yeah.
Then I think that's what this person's scared of being is, am I the crazy person that's saying, you can't have any friends and don't talk to any women and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, there's clearly still bubbling with all the things that made it a problem in the first place.
For sure. Right.
So... listen, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending your emails. We love a mailbag. We love an Am I Crazy Dog. We love a luxury lounge. So much good stuff today. You guys are fantastic. Everyone go follow Liz Mealy. The special's out tomorrow on her YouTube channel. So this is a great opportunity to go to Liz's YouTube channel. We will have it linked in the bio of this episode. Maddie Wiener will have her website linked. You can sign up for her email list. She's going on the road more and more. That's really important to get people to come out and enjoy. And you're going to love Maddie Wiener. You're going to love Liz Mealy. We're going to Patreon now. We're going to do Luxury Lounge and TikToks That Made Me Feel on Patreon. So if you want to watch that, every end of an episode is on Patreon. Patreon.com/JaredFreed. $5 a month. It's for $5 a month, you're getting four audio and video episodes that we do, both audio and video, and you're getting coffee with JTrain. We're doing a lot of stuff out there. So patreon.com/JaredFreed. Okay.